Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude. The hurricane has passed.
Right. You managed to just scrape by.
It was really treacherous out here in the Bay Area.
Right. Only about 3,000 miles away from the hurricane.
That's some brutal stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is worse, big earthquake or like hurricane scare?
Oh, man.
I mean, because we're in earthquake country over here, obviously.
I'm going to say earthquake just because that's what our reality is.
I think a hurricane's worse because you see it coming. So you have this time to build up all this like fear and anxiety.
Yeah,
over
but
it.
At least you could like with a hurricane, like some people in Brooklyn, you're able to evacuate. Earthquake, it could happen right now while we're talking, and we could plummet to our death. No prep, dude.
Right, but then we wouldn't know. I mean, it'd be quick.
You'd just be over.
You'd
we wouldn't
like,
see the Sharks win the cup. Nothing.
Wah, wah.
What a terrible way to start the podcast.
Yeah, another bummer.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what's not a bummer, and we did touch on it just really briefly at the end of the podcast last week, as we discovered literally while we're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Logan Couture's 2-year extension, you know, the money was confirmed. We were pretty damn close, dude.
Yeah,
in terms of
actually in a way we were both right, because yeah. I said $3 million a year and you said $2.75 million a year, and it was 1 year 2.75, 1 year three.
Yeah, well,
so how much do we rule?
Pretty much
a little bit
all the way. 2 years, $5.75 million, 2.875 cap hit for a guy who scored 30 goals last year,
right,
and is, you know, just beginning to perhaps touch his full potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we talked about last year, you know, when Logan Couture was the Sharks' best player the first half of the season. You know, is he what keeps this team going? I mean, are the Sharks going to go as far as Logan Couture performs? I mean, he's a major, you know, contributor.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is about the Sharks, at least offensively, the past few years, is it doesn't have to be all in one guy. You know, if he has a little bit of a stumble, and I think maybe the second half of the year wasn't as good as his first, you know, there's plenty of other guys around to pick up the pace. And when you talk about some other, you know, superstars in the league, I'm thinking of a guy like maybe like Marian Gaborik or Ilya Kovalchuk or something like that. I mean, these guys are just so far and away, head and shoulders offensively better than everyone else around them. If they ever go down a notch, everybody notices, and it's nice to have, you know, the one-time 125-point scorer in Joe Thornton and the, you know, the 44-goal scorer in Patrick Marleau to sort of buffer this young kid from that kind of criticism. Because I think if he were exposed as the guy in maybe, you know, a big hockey town, for instance, that was rebuilding, I mean, think if he was the man like in Ottawa and he had a couple of bad weeks, I mean, they would be all over him.
Sure. Well, we've seen this with John Tavares, you know, in New York.
Well, that's not exactly a huge hockey market so much anymore.
That's a team, a rebuilding team that has been relying solely on that player to make things happen. And he had a pretty damn good year last year.
Yeah, without
anybody
really
noticing. But I know
really
what you're
noticing.
Saying, you know, Ottawa, if he was in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
he would be scrutinized. And I'm sure his numbers would be down. You know, he wouldn't have the same production probably.
Right, and he may even have more production this year because he... At least the early plans are to put him with the big guys, put him with Jumbo.
Yeah, this could be a huge steal.
It could be explosive.
Yeah, and we saw what a player like Chichu, who was a good player in that moment, but I don't think anyone would disagree that in their best moments, Couture is a way better player than Jonathan Chichu.
Mm-hmm.
That
I mean, it's different skills, right?
I know, but I'm talking about the ability to put the puck in the net. And, you know, Couture is definitely a more effective sniper than Danny Heatley is right now.
Right.
So, and Heatley wasn't even able to hang with the top line. He was playing third line minutes at the end of the year, injury or not. You know, he got demoted both seasons. So I'm excited if Couture is able to, you know, last year he had 32 goals. He's playing with Joe. It's not a far cry to say that he's going to sniff the high 30s,
yeah,
40. And then if you're getting him for under $3 million for three more years, that's a huge steal.
Huge steal.
And then by that time, you know, they'll have the option to Marlow, Jumbo, you know, those guys, they won't be in their prime anymore. And we've seen what happens to those players, even good players who are still productive. They don't get that cash.
Right.
They get frozen out almost sometimes.
You see it happen with older players.
You see it happen. They're gonna be the ones making four and a half, and Logan will then go up and make six.
Right.
Six and a half. So it'll be reversed at some point.
That's true. I do want to mention that we're going to be talking to Patrick Degelman, who won one of our fantasy leagues, a little bit later on in the show, but we're going to exhaust this topic at first because it's sort of related to a signing that we actually saw in the NHL news today, right? I mean, this is it's not a completely dissimilar player. We saw a guy in James Van Riemsdyk, JVR, they call him, signed with Philadelphia. He's a young kid. He was a number two overall. He was behind... Who is he behind? He was behind Ovechkin or something like that.
Oh, no, not Ovechkin.
Who is he behind? Oh, man, now I have to look it up. So, dude, talk about this signing. Talk about the numbers in the term, and I'll look up who exactly he was.
Yeah, JVR signed a six-year deal, and his cap hit is, you know, gosh, dude, it's in the mid-fours. I'm trying to remember, and now got it in front of me. 4.25, you know, $25.5 million over 6 years, and... You look at this, he's 22. The kid's got all the upside in the world. And I guess my question for you is, dude, I look at his numbers. He's played two full seasons in the NHL, and he has 35 points and 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have 7 goals last year in 11 games in the playoffs.
Right.
It was very successful. No assists, by the way. Selfish much? No. But it with a guy who's had 2 years, you still had his rights as a restricted free agent. I mean, they chose to not play this the way the Sharks played it with Setoguchi or even with Couture here.
Or even with Pavelski.
You know, you've got a guy who you could have brought along at least another year. What's the logic behind this, throwing this much cash at a guy who hasn't even cracked the over 40 points?
Well, I think if the Flyers didn't do the major rebuild that they did, then this deal wouldn't be like it is. Because basically, by trading Mike Richards, you know, they traded Simon Gagné last year. They got rid of Carter. They put the keys to the car in the hands of James Van Riemsdyk in terms of, you know, they went with youth up front and he has to be that guy. And so they decided to pay him and, you know, just say, okay, it's your team now, kid. You know, you're the number two overall pick behind your favorite player, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it. I think if they still had, you know, the whole leadership, you know, structure among the forwards still in place, I'm not so sure we would see the same contract here.
Is this reactionary? It feels too reactionary to me to them to be going, well, JVR is going to be playing top 3 minutes maybe this year.
Oh, he'll be on the top line, I think.
He might have a 60-point year this year because he's going to be playing those minutes that were gobbled up by Carter and Richards. So instead of, like, let's say JVR has a 65-point year this year playing with Giroux and whoever else he's out there with.
Briere, maybe.
All right. So in that situation, would they have then lined up to have to pay more than the 4.25 in arbitration? You know, maybe they feel like they're trying to, you know, hedge their bet there and say, we believe in you, but we don't want to get in a situation where now you have a great year, you're then going to cost 5.5.
That very well could be their thinking. It's like, we're gonna give this guy top line opportunities. We're expect him to produce. We have every expectation he's going to produce. And so if we pay him $4 million now, we don't have to pay him $6 million in 2 years.
How different would this be from the Sharks? Let's say they kept Seto and gave him this deal, dude. I mean,
it's a different situation because, again, you know, Seto wouldn't be thrust necessarily into the top line. I mean, we still have Marlowe and Thornton.
But there's no guarantee that this guy's going to either, right?
But it's his job to lose. Right. And you couldn't say that about Seto if he was coming into the Sharks under those exact same conditions. It wouldn't be his spot on the top line to lose. The only reason people might think that is because of the contract, not necessarily because of his skill. Mm-hmm. And with JVR, he's the young, you know, number two overall skilled offensive player. It's his job to lose. So maybe they just decided to sort of pay him accordingly and say, listen, we really want to go with youth. We want you to stick with the team, trying to build some goodwill. You know, I don't necessarily disagree with it from that perspective, although I can't help thinking that, you know, they put all their eggs in this basket, and if it doesn't work out, then they could be in some trouble. And they basically forfeited, you know, two or three more years of restricted free agency from this kid, where generally players get a little bit under market rate, like we're seeing with Logan Couture. I mean, if you had a 30-goal score, 32-goal score on the free market, I don't think he would be making $2.75 million.
No. I mean, if Logan Couture had been an unrestricted free agent, someone would give him $5 million. He would have been more valuable right. than Ville Leino.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You know? Yeah. No doubt about that.
Right.
So I'm not sure about this deal for the Flyers. I'm not 100% sold that JVR is going to be worth this kind of money. But you know, all he's going to take is have one huge monster year, and this is going to end up looking like a brilliant steal. But
right.
if he has another 40-point year,
yeah,
then
it's not going to look good.
Then this is not good, and then you're in a situation where, you know, I don't think many people are going to be interested in a 40-point player for that amount of time
mm-hmm.
at that much cash.
Yep. Yeah, they took a risk here, and you know, I don't necessarily mind GMs taking a risk. They say, "Okay, you know, we expect this kid to do well and we're going to pay him like a top liner."
Yeah, they're not shy about spending money. Dude.
And if it works out for them, then it's going to make Paul Holmgren look like a genius. So, we'll see. Dude, let's break and we'll talk to Patrick for a few minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other questions that people have left on the blog and some other topics that may just strike our fancy.
See you on the flip side.
All right, we welcome to the podcast Patrick Degelman, who took us up on our offer to come onto the podcast after, beating us badly in one of our fantasy leagues, dude.
We're not sore losers.
Only a little sore. So, Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Dude, it's an honor. I hope I don't make you regret extending this offer.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, so I appreciate you coming on because, you know, it's interesting that there were three winners in three leagues. And none of them were us, and you're the only one who came on. So how do you explain that? Do you just have more strength of character than the other winners, or what is it? What is it all about?
That could be. Probably I had one person in our league who was kind of the evil empire of fantasy hockey, and has caused all kinds of trouble on the blog too. And so I was really motivated all season not to let that person appear on the podcast.
Wow.
And so, you know, basically felt like I had to take you guys up after that.
Do you think the Sharks could use that kind of motivation to put themselves over the hump? I would like to. Can you instill that kind of feeling in them that maybe they dislike Patrick Kane, who I have decided is my least favorite player?
Yeah, you're sticking with that after last week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the shirtless mullet that really gets me upset. Does anyone look good with a shirtless mullet in a limousine in Vancouver?
I don't think so.
Barry Melrose?
Maybe. Maybe.
All right, Patrick, I'm going to go back to the beginning. So I want to ask you, first of all, how did you... I know you're no longer on the West Coast, but I think you were, at least up until fairly recently, on the West Coast. So the question is, how did you become a hockey fan, and how did you start to follow the Sharks?
I grew up in kind of the Menlo Park area.
Yeah.
And I loved hockey. I wanted to play, and my mom didn't want to be a hockey mom and drive me to the rink and stuff. But a friend had tickets in the early days, so I went to a lot of games at the Cow Palace. Kind of lost touch for a while because we didn't have cable growing up. And then back around my early in high school, which I guess would have been the Owen Nolan, Jeff Friesen years, kind of those like St. Louis Blues 1-8-5-4 series, yeah. I really got back into it.
Man, he was in high school then? I feel old.
You've just dated the dudes.
Sorry, dude.
Little bit. All right, so
not only has he won, but he has sunk the dagger.
Stab is right in the back. How'd you find the podcast, by the way?
I get really bored at work, and so like I listened to a few other podcasts and just started searching for Shark stuff and Notre Dame stuff, and you guys popped up. And I downloaded all the back episodes and caught up and loved you guys ever since.
Wow. It's dedication.
Yeah, now I'm feeling warm and fuzzy.
Oh, yeah, see? It's like
the age thing is just completely gone.
It's like a roller coaster of emotions here in this interview.
Of the Sharks players right now, you know, I think we're pretty much on record that our favorite player is Dan Boyle. Like, who would you say that is the Shark that you can't help rooting for the most?
My favorite player by far is Marlowe.
Wow, that's actually a little controversial because I think he's taken a lot of heat. So your response to were you particularly broken up when he lost the captaincy and, you know, they gave it away to somebody else? Did you feel like that was a travesty of justice?
No, I didn't. I mean, I felt bad for him. I'm sure that was kind of a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, I'm a Sharks fan first and foremost, so I think it was the right move for the team, but definitely felt bad for Patty.
Is it the eyebrows that maybe put him over the top?
That's a big part of it. I really like when he was the grand marshal of that parade or race that they would always show the clip of. And he would say, "Gentlemen, start your engines."
Yeah, without a whole lot of personality and saying that. Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that was good times. All right, so now we really got to get to the meat of the interview, which is how on earth did you beat us at fantasy? Like, what's the secret? What did you do? What did we not do? We have to learn from this.
It was some lucky picks, and it was also, I mean, so that Evil Doug was kind of doing the ad drop thing all season where he'd drop players, pick up players, which really, I hate playing fantasy sports that way, and I feel like I owe an apology to the rest of the league for resorting to that to beat him.
No, that's actually good Doug's strategy as well. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about doing that.
No apology necessary.
That's totally, totally legal.
Whatever you had to do to beat ED.
Right. Or us, frankly, for that matter. Absolutely. I mean, it's all legal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, that was a lot of it. A couple lucky picks. I went after goalies early, so got Luongo, and that obviously paid off.
Yeah, I was looking at your team, and actually, to be perfectly honest, I was a little surprised. We had 330 goal scorers in our team, and you had none. So I was a little mad at that. But yeah, you had the stable of goalies. You had Halak, Luongo, and then it looks like you picked up James Reimer, the Toronto rookie.
Wait a second. You had Patrick Kane on your team.
Oh.
That's awful. Yeah. That's awful. And Steve Ott.
Oh, and Mike Ribeiro.
Oh, you had Mike Ribeiro too?
Oh, my God. Oh. I rescind my offer.
I had Getzlaff, and I tried to get Perry. I call it an emotional hedge where you kind of, I wouldn't pick any Sharks. I pick guys who I don't like that much, and that way, if they do crappy, then at least I have that going in real life.
Is that the root of the name the Jerk List? Because I think looking at your team, pretty much is a jerk list.
It definitely was. The root of that is another podcast, Dave Damashek, on NFL.com, and he does, and it's called The Shame Report now, but it's a hilarious segment he does every week.
So what was the one pickup or draft that draft player that you were the most proud of that paid off for you the best? I mean, Luongo's a little bit of a slam dunk. Everybody knew he was one of the top two or three goalies. But is there a guy that you went a little bit off the board or said, oh, you know, here's a little flyer of a draft pick or a flyer of a pickup, and he just turned out aces for you?
Boy, it's been a long time since I thought about my team. I remember Evander Kane did pretty well. I think he was undrafted, but I picked him up right after the draft. I don't know. I just really didn't have any duds. Getzlaff was good. Kane was obviously good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry. I don't have a good answer for that one.
No, it's always a combination. You know, we're trying to find the winning formula. It's always hard to find the winning formula.
I used to do pretty darn well with
both of your other leagues too.
Yeah, we lost all the leagues.
How'd you do in those ones?
I would say from poor to really poor.
No, that's not true.
We made the playoffs in every league.
We made the playoffs in every league.
And we lost in the first round, I think, twice.
Yeah. So Yeah, we had some. Yeah,
did we lose to you in the playoffs?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's the case.
Did we not make it that far?
Let me go back. Says,
so you were in Dudes 3, Hamburgers Helpers.
Yeah, we lost. We lost to Grice Cakes, who ended up making it to the finals, and you beat in the finals. So
Patrick, will you be back to defend your title? That is a great question.
I would love to. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. I actually had a ping this week from another friend of ours, Doug, who asked us to come back to their league. So if you're listening to this and you want to play in the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy Leagues, we'll be running more leagues again this time.
Yeah, we'll get that fired up in the next couple of weeks. The hockey's just around the corner. I am tingling in anticipation of the teal and white game.
Oh, again with this?
Well, you know, it's coming up, dude.
All right, so Patrick, I'm going to get you out of here on this. So obviously there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in the offseason. You know, we get the trades and all this other stuff. You know, what do you make of the overall offseason moves? Are you in an optimistic, positive light, or are you feeling like this is more like a last-ditch effort to try and squeeze the last bit of worth out of what's going on here? Or what's your take on all these moves that the Sharks have made?
Oh, I'm feeling totally positive. This is the best I've felt about a Sharks roster going into the season probably my whole life. I think, you know, it sucks to see Seto go. Heatley, I wasn't a big fan of. But neither one of those guys you could really count on. They had flashes, but they were really inconsistent. And, you know, I think top to bottom, they're a much better team. Charlie Coyle, people fall in love with prospects, and you never know what's going to happen. So, I don't know. The cupboard's kind of bare, but I'm really happy with the roster they have.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
If we win the cup, would you get a Harry Potter tattoo?
I don't think so.
Neither will I. No. I just was wondering to see how far you're willing to go.
What are you, nuts?
Well, Brent, it's good enough for Brent Burns. It's good enough for us, dude.
Yeah, you didn't win the cup, though. Well, Patrick, we really appreciate you being a sport and coming on the podcast and joining us. And thank you for claiming your well-deserved prize by winning the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy League. And I hope that you'll give us all a good run this coming season for your Fantasy League title.
Hey, thanks for having me, dudes. Let me give one quick shout to my best buddy, Taylor. He's not a huge hockey fan, but he's trying hard to learn the game. And he, I think, was more excited than anyone for me to be on this podcast. So
awesome. Well, Taylor, keep it real, dude.
Yeah, and and start loving hockey, bro, because it's the best sport there is.
It is. Where else can you watch a giant fire hydrant like Semenov on ice?
That's true. Excellent point. Patrick, take care, man.
All right, thanks, dudes.
It's alive!
Had to get that sound effect in there somehow. It's sitting here on the board. I got to figure out a way to work it into the show,
There's no shame in that.
Not at all.
Frankenstein.
Well, you know, cool guy, Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad we had him on the show. I'm glad, you know, we didn't even like cut any of the interview either. You know, I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to have to shave a little bit here and there, just tighten it up a bit. Nope. Worked out well.
Pure gold.
Dude, you're engrossed in your iPad. What are you looking at?
I'm sorry, dude. You know, our next topic for today is that there was a blog post written by a blog that I hate to say that I had not heard of until this came across on Spectre. We never make it to Spectre.
No.
No. But Shark Circle did make it to Spectre. And they,
how do I not know of a Shark Circle?
I don't know. But I know of them now. And Shark Circle blog wrote a post called "The Best Free Agent Signings of the Offseason, The Players the Sharks Should Have Signed," and this is only part one.
I see.
Dude.
Okay.
Only part one. He lists, I'm assuming it's a he, lists three players who he feels the Sharks should have signed in part one, dude.
I see.
So let me talk to you about these players and then get your take on it, okay?
Okay.
The first one that he mentions is right wing Anthony Stewart, formerly of the Atlanta Thrashers. Instead of re-signing with Winnipeg, he bolted to Carolina and signed a two-year, $1.8 million deal. Do you agree that Anthony Stewart should have been signed by the Sharks? He seems to be very adamant that Doug Wilson missed the boat on this.
Oh, Anthony Stewart. I'd much rather have Chris Stewart, to be honest with you. Anthony Stewart's a good player. I wonder where he would fit. Is he the third line guy that we're looking for? I don't know if that's the case, is it?
Well, I have to be honest, dude, and I like to think that I follow a lot of hockey. I couldn't tell you much about Anthony Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never noticed that he was especially physical or like a really outstanding clutch goal scorer or outstanding defensively. Like, none of those things, you know, struck a chord with me. His numbers are fairly average. You know, he had, I don't know, 15 minutes of ice time or something like that, but he had 39 points, 14 goals. It's not bad. 55 penalty minutes. But the fact that this guy, you know, the Winnipeg obviously not interested, or he wasn't interested in being there. So he got a deal like very early in free agency from Carolina that doesn't even pay him $1 million a year for a 26-year-old young player.
Right.
Like, that's
not a great sign.
Ben Eager got more than this guy.
Right.
So if that's like the best offer on the table, Doug Wilson's not the only one who didn't really think this guy was that good.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Maybe he's really going to blossom in Carolina, and maybe I should maybe pay a little bit more attention to him. But it sounds like Anthony Stewart is just Chris Stewart's brother.
Yeah.
You know,
unfortunately,
that's all I know.
Right.
The next player is Chris Higgins, left wing for the Vancouver Canucks, brought over in a trade last year to Vancouver and helped them on to their Stanley Cup final run, dude. Do you agree that Chris Higgins, if he had really been available, and he really wasn't, which is the other thing I kind of have an issue with on this list.
Well, yeah, was he available?
Chris, he signed on the first day. Like, he was one of the first players to sign.
Right.
He didn't hit the market, really.
No, that doesn't really count.
He wasn't out there for a few days. He was out there for a few minutes.
Right. And it's, I mean, he would have to be like your number one. It would be have to be like Florida calling with a $4 million offer for, you know, for one of those third liners that they signed, you know, and they'd have to like offer him like way that, from his perspective, why would you want to leave Vancouver? It just doesn't.
Right. No,
it's not,
why
it's
would
not like Doug Wilson will go in and offer him market rate. And he's like, sure, I'll jump ship.
That was a great fit for him. And he was very good on that team. I mean, I remember when that trade happened, you know, we both were kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Chris
exactly.
Higgins. I mean,
he's sort of remade himself as a third liner. I mean, I think Montreal, he was supposed to be like a top six
guy. He was.
Guy.
And that was always the name that you would hear linked to that Patrick Marleau trade to Montreal.
Yeah.
It was Chris Higgins, you know, coming back to the Sharks. And you know, he's not that player. Do I think he could have been useful on the Sharks in that third line role? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that in this case, he makes a good point, but I don't think why the Sharks should have signed him. There was no opportunity, I don't think.
I don't believe
unless you went in and offered him something
outrageous.
Outrageous, that Jeff Finger type early reactionary deal. No.
And is this really the guy that you would want to offer the moon to? I mean, he's obviously a good player and he's found a home in Vancouver, but he wouldn't be on my short list of guys that you should grossly overpay in order to get him into town.
Right. All right. The last player is right wing of the St. Louis Blues, Matt D'Agostini, which according to the Hockey News, he actually was non-tendered, went to unrestricted free agency, and then re-signed.
On the first day.
On the first day.
He signed the first day.
So this is another guy who
wasn't available.
Really not available. I mean, he was in dialogue with the Blues. He hit the market. The Blues gave him, you know, 2 years, 4.6.
But he wasn't tendered a restricted. He wasn't tendered an offer?
I guess not. I mean, I was trying to interpret what the Hockey
He wasn't is. Given a qualifying offer? That's hard to believe.
Well, hold on, dude. Yeah, this is what
dude, I won't stand for this.
Dude, I'm reading to you what it says.
All right, thank you.
On Hockey News, it says 6/27/11, St. Louis Blues did not tender a qualifying offer.
Wow.
7/1, re-signed as an unrestricted free agency.
That makes no sense to me from a
well,
why would you do that? You want to sign a guy for $2 million a year and you're not going to give him like the qualifying
well,
offer?
Well, he did have a good year last year and maybe they felt like it was going to go to arbitration and he was going to get more. And so they wanted to work out a multi-year deal. So that's got to be what happened. They probably said, if you're not willing to work out a multi-year deal, we don't want to pay you more than this. And if he went to arbitration, he had 21 goals last year. He had a good year.
That's surprising. I usually don't hear about situations like that with a restricted free agent and he's not given a qualifying offer. That generally means the team wants nothing to do with the guy. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you could be right. That's an interesting theory, though, that maybe they didn't want to go to arbitration with him. I mean, that's, I get, you know, either the team or the player can go to arbitration. But yeah. I mean, if they're going to give him $2 million a year, you think he wouldn't have accepted that as a tendered free agent? Restricted free agent?
I don't know. Obviously, they must have thought he wouldn't.
Right.
So, strange. Anyways, dude. But
another guy that wasn't really available.
And I have to say, if he was, I mean.
This is the guy you're going to go
this
after?
This is the guy that is going to, you know, the guy who, he was terrible in Montreal, and they basically gave up on him and traded him, you know, for Aaron Pulisic or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a trade of trash, basically, for trash at the moment.
Pulisic or something like
whatever.
That.
Yeah, Pulisic. Dude, so I wouldn't, if we had signed Matt D'Agostino, I'd be like, what?
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Especially for that kind of money.
A guy who really is a wannabe top six forward who maybe he's going to do well this year, but I don't think he's that third line player that the Sharks really need. Like
if the going rate's $2 million, that's a pretty expensive third line player.
Expensive, yeah. For a winger, that's expensive.
Yeah, that's an expensive winger.
So, got to say, sorry, Shark Circle. Not really on board with...
One for three, maybe.
Yeah, I would say Chris Higgins would be the player of that list that I would be the most interested in. You look at the Anthony Stewart one, like,
yeah,
and Anthony Stewart's another one who tweets like all the time.
Yeah, I mean, constantly
on Twitter all the time, almost annoyingly. So I don't find him to be that interesting. But you know, if you're signing that early and you're getting under $1 million, you know,
you could be just signing the contract because you got a contract.
It doesn't sound like the phone lines were burning up.
Well, you never know. I mean, we don't know. We don't know the situation of that negotiation.
He's
going to start tweeting as a dude. He's going to start railing us on Twitter. We got to be
go
careful.
Ahead. I would love that.
Got to be careful.
I would like the attention.
Okay, yeah.
If Anthony Stewart wanted to tweet at me, I'd take it. I would say, I guess you must have turned down big bucks from another team to take $1 million to play in Carolina. Good times.
All right, dude, I'm going to take it over to the blog because people are now putting comments and suggestions on the actual blog comments, which
good.
Isn't generally how it's done, but hey, we'll take it anyway
there's
we
no
can
rules,
get it.
Dude. There's no rules. Rules.
Hale says, question for the dudes. Do you think this year is the Sharks' best shot on paper to win the Cup? If not, what other year were they looking more poised to win it all? For me, the team of 2008-09 was really hyped after the first couple of months of the season to be the Cup favorite. And I would say I would be much more disappointed to see a non-Stanley Cup playoff oust this year than in years past. So, what do you think about that, dude? I know we asked Patrick that question, and he said he's as excited as he's ever been to see the Sharks go into this year. Would you say the Sharks are the best on paper this year?
No, the best in the league on paper?
No, their best shot to win
best
the Cup
they've,
on paper.
Gosh, I got to say that I think this might be the best Sharks team on paper, but I don't know if it's their best shot to win a Cup. I think that that's different.
Okay, good point.
I really thought the year that we played the Ducks in the first round when we had Rob Blake and Boyle, they just came over, I thought that was it. I really did. I think how dominant they were.
Mm-hmm.
We were just going to coast past them and go all the way. You know, I really felt like that was going to be it. I think that's why that was so hard to accept when they lost, you know. Mm-hmm. But on paper, dude, this might be the best collection of talent.
But not the best chance to win the Cup?
Because there are other teams that are very good, you know, and I think that year they were the best team on paper, maybe.
Right.
You know? And they weren't able to get over the hump. I mean, that was, you had, who was on that team, dude? Do you remember?
What? Like, that year?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. That we lost the Ducks in 2008.
Yeah, that's right.
Do some filler.
Well, dude, you know, I'm gonna have to go with you too, but not for the same reason, because you know I'm not able to separate emotions and memories from the past, because unfortunately how you think about the Sharks now for me is colored by how the Sharks have done the past few years, and it's hard for me to be a wide, doe-eyed young hockey fan thinking that the Sharks are going to win it all this year when there's been this unfortunate string of playoff losses the past few years. Albeit, you know, two losses in the Western Conference Finals is pretty respectable, but still, you still have that string of losses, you know, in years past. So you feel like there's this like weight of expectations also following you around. It's not like I remember like the young upstart New York Islanders with Ted Nolan as the coach, and it's like they're so happy to make the playoffs, and it's just awesome when you make it. And it's like the Sharks make the playoffs, and it's like, uh-oh, here we go. So,
right.
So for me, it's a little hard for me to say that I'm as excited now as I've ever been, although I can't disagree with your assessment that this might be the best team on paper that the Sharks have ever put out. And frankly, I don't necessarily agree with you that other teams are more stacked this year than they were last year. I mean, you know, I think Vancouver's lost some players. We've seen, you know, I don't see that Washington may be a bit better in goaltending, but I'm not sure they have gotten over like some what I would consider to be some of the structural problems with their team. We saw the Flyers take a step down. We have uncertainty with Sidney Crosby. You know, maybe the Blackhawks got a little bit better, but it seems like no one has emerged as an obvious cup favorite, you know, amongst the teams that have, you know, in the league. And right. With relation to the Sharks, the Kings probably got better, so that's a little bit worrying. But maybe, you know, it's hard for me to say, you know, thinking of all the losing that the Sharks have done in the playoffs the last few years. I mean, they're 1-8 in conference finals the last 2 years. I mean, that sucks. That's terrible.
What do you mean? That's awesome.
Yeah, not
it's
really.
Delightful.
So what are you looking up here?
Well, I mean, I'm just looking up that year was the year that Pittsburgh beat Detroit in the Stanley Cup finals. And,
right.
You know, that year, you know, as always, Detroit is, you know, the team that you worry about the most. And that might have been the team that stood in the Sharks' way in the West. You know, Chicago was a surprise conference finals team that year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they could have beat the Sharks that year if they had been able to, you know, get things going against Anaheim. But, you know, bottom line is they didn't. But this is a great team this year. But you look at the other team, you know, 2008, 2009, Thornton, Marlowe, Seto. This was the year Seto had 31 goals.
Right.
Pavs, Mahalik, Boyle, Klo, Blake, Erhoff, Vlasic, Chichu, Greer, JR,
yeah.
Murray,
mm-hmm.
Travis Moen, Nabby. That's a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, it's good.
You know?
That's good.
But I think I would take the team that, you know, we would present today over this team. So if they had to go head to head in a teal and white battle royale.
I'm excited for teal and white again. You got me excited, dude.
Really? I put in my calendar, but I was like,
no, not really. I'm not that. I'm just trying to put on a good face for the podcast.
Okay, all right.
Andy the Governor says,
good day, Governor.
You went straight for the new poll question without discussing the results as to who had the lamer hobby. Well, maybe because I was just trying to cover it up that the fact that I clearly have the lamer hobby. I got destroyed in the poll.
Yeah.
Setting your team roster in NHL 11 was viewed by the listeners as not nearly as lame as reading the CBA as I have done. So, such is life. This is my lot.
It's all right, dude. Whatever floats your boat.
All right, dude. And while you're at
there's no judgment here upon your lame hobbies.
Good, because I have several. He also says he misses the getting to know you segment.
Oh.
So I guess we're going to have to bring that back. Let's see. Where is that sound effect?
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
So we're learning about you and I. The listeners want to learn about you and I. What can we honestly disclose at this point that wouldn't be incriminating?
Well, dude, I don't know. We'll see if we can each come up with a story here.
Okay.
I think we can disclose.
I guess it doesn't have to be hockey related anymore.
No, no.
We're way off the beaten track now.
I don't think it has been hockey related.
Probably not.
Some of them haven't. The listeners probably know that we've been friends for a long time.
Right.
20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
It has been 20 years.
And that Mike and I, when we were in high school, were in a performing show choir.
That's true.
And we went on a trip to Japan.
That's true. We did.
Which is true. And we entertained the people of Japan.
And we actually performed at Tokyo Disneyland.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. And we've got some
And it's not on YouTube, so don't bother looking because it's not there. So that was before the internet.
Yeah, that might be funny to put a clip up.
Of
us at Tokyo Disneyland. We have some video footage of that.
We do. Do you have it? Because
I have that. It's pretty funny.
Dude, you opened this can of worms. Now we're gonna have to put up footage of us in Japan. Oh man,
dude, it's getting to know you. It's been a long time. Can you think of another nugget?
That's pretty good. I mean, the fact that we're also in musicals together.
Have we talked about the fact? Okay, here, I've got another one.
Okay, are we trying to?
Get away from the musicals. Here.
Got it.
All right,
paving over that comment.
Did we talk about our basketball days?
Did we talk about basketball? We might have. About how I'm the worst basketball player ever.
That we played Mormon League basketball together.
We might have told this story.
I don't know.
Well, poll question. Did we tell the story before?
All right.
Let's not tell it again, because if we told it before, we'll tell it next week if we haven't. So somebody email us and tell us.
How about that little teaser?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the teaser.
Neither of us are Mormon, but we both played Mormon League basketball, and there's a really good story about what happened in one of the games.
Right. So if we didn't tell that story, tell us that we didn't tell it, because I'm not going to go back and listen to all the shows. So I'm sure somebody remembers, and if we haven't told that story, we will tell it next week. In getting to know you.
I think I got at least 5 technical fouls that year.
Dude, don't tell the whole story yet.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't control myself when I would miss a shot.
And also, I should mention that Andy is sticking it to us that Tottenham got a 5 banger hung on him last Sunday.
Who's Andy's team again? West Ham?
Yeah. I don't know who they are. Good. West Ham got relegated, dude.
Yeah, so, all right.
They're out.
Okay. We'll see you in the premiership, buddy.
In Tottenham's defense, and Lord knows they need one, they played Man U and Man City.
Yeah,
they've
been embarrassed the first 2 weeks.
They got worked. Yeah, just
pretty awful.
Dzeko had like 80 goals.
Yeah, dude, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, let's not go there. Also, Ruben said, any comments about the story about Wellwood possibly shunning the Blue Jackets and Jets for just a tryout with the Sharks? Hard not to want a guy like that on the squad. If that's true, I completely agree with you. I haven't seen that story. Have you?
I have seen mention of that story. I think he is an idiot if he does that.
Well, that aside, does that mean he's a guy you want on the Sharks?
I would invite him to camp, but yeah. I do not think he solves the problem on the third line.
Yeah.
I just don't.
No.
I don't think that's the answer. I think he's good insurance for if one of the top 6 guys goes down, you can put Wellwood in there and he would not embarrass himself.
Right.
Because he's handsy. But he's not. But he's not going to be a third line guy, dude, that I'm interested in having on a cup run.
Yeah.
You look at the guys who were effective last year. Torres, Higgins, Thornton, and Marchand.
Right.
Or Marchand.
Yeah, Marchand.
We need somebody like that.
Right. A little bit more irritating.
Irritating. I mean, and Kyle Wellwood is irritating, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
If he came back, dude, we would welcome him with open arms and tons of jokes.
Yes, absolutely.
So, we'll see.
It'd be comic gold.
Sure. I guess... The guy wants to win more than get a few extra dollars, I guess.
I hope so.
And I'm sure he's not getting any sort of big-time offers, obviously.
Doesn't appear that
way. You say Jets and Blue Jackets?
That's what Ruben said.
Wouldn't you want to take the guaranteed money from Columbus?
Yeah. They could make the playoffs this year.
Sure. That team has improved significantly.
Significantly. With Wisniewski?
Yeah. I mean, if I was him, I would take the guaranteed money because if you
downside Columbus, it's in Columbus.
I know that's
not that I've ever been to Columbus. So I don't mean to malign all the Ohioans.
Better than Winnipeg, probably.
Yeah,
although
probably
I've never been to Winnipeg.
Yeah,
but you know that's a gamble. You don't make the Sharks. You've got nothing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to like do the Chichu minor league deal thing.
I've got
to
feed my family, as Latrell Sprewell would say. Dude, last thing before we go.
Okay.
As we're approaching our 45th minute.
Oh my God.
Of
podcast
excellent
gold.
News.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm re-entering a fantasy football league. And I there's a story behind it. I won't get into the whole thing. But it has to do with collecting a debt. Right. I need my team to have name to have something to do with collecting a debt. And it could be, you know, as simple as the debt collectors could be the name, but that's very simple. I mean, our other ideas that we talked about today was the Rod Tidwells
right.
from Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
Right.
And I could just use different Rod Tidwell sayings throughout the whole year to annoy people.
Is that a little obscure? You think most people get the Rod Tidwell
I don't know.
Reference?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So I'm asking for suggestions from the listeners
yeah.
for some sort of outstanding fantasy football name, because I do have some crude ones that I use pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to clean it up here. I'm trying to clean it up and also stick a little needle in there at the league. So
okay, so you
help
can
me out.
You can tweet at us, Dudes in Hockey. You can yeah. go to our Facebook page linked on the blog, comment on this post, whatever you want to do. Send us an email, questions@dudesonhockey.com. Let us know what's a good name for Doug's fantasy team, because, you know, clearly we're dealing with the big issues here in the offseason.
This is important.
It is big.
All right, dude. We'll be back next week for more excitement.
That's right. Almost get 1 week closer to the season, dude.
That's right. 1 week closer to teal and white.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.